In the book of Acts, we have chapter 1. A couple weeks ago, I taught up at Living Hope Community Church, and I did a teaching. The weekend was about revival, and I encourage you, if you haven't heard that teaching, maybe you want to hear it because it's just an addition. This one's going to be a kind of an addition to that one. But I'm sure all the teachings were wonderful and great, so enjoy it. If it's online, I think it's on YouTube. Well, when our Lord and Savior was at the end of his ministry, he had spent 40 days with his men after the resurrection, teaching them about the kingdom of God, telling them about the promise that was coming and the power that was going to be a part of that promise. And when they received this, they were absolutely changed. These guys went from being full of fear, doubt, worry, all the things that most people are, and they went and almost instantly, and I would say it was instant because of the boldness that they had. They went instantly and realized that they had God in them. They had the power of God in them. They had the Spirit of God in them. And they were absolutely fearless. They went from being behind closed doors for fear of the Jews to standing in front of thousands. And really, the audience was a hostile one. This audience is the one that cheered, you know, when Jesus was being before Pilate. They said, "Crucify him." The leaders that are running in this particular in the temple, they're there. You know, they're in the highest seats. They're there, and Peter just gets up and preaches like he is the king of the earth. That's kind of how I picture it. He just stands up like some superhero and starts telling everybody without an ounce of fear the truth of God's word and what's been done. What came on that day, Jesus Christ spoke of it in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard of me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." John's water baptism was a baptism of repentance, where you confessed your sins, you repented, and you turned to God from your evil ways. And the symbolism there was that they were cleaned with water. But Jesus Christ says, but when this Spirit comes, when this promise of the Father comes, you're going to be, and I put the picture of, you're going to be baptized, you're going to be dipped in pure power. Pure Holy Spirit, whatever it is, power. Because it says in verse 8, it says, "And you shall receive power." That's why I said that. You shall receive power. In verse 8, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That is the purpose of receiving the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to cover Acts chapter 2, but Peter stands up, he boldly preaches the word, 3,000 believe, right? Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 3, it starts off with the healing of the man at the temple gate, beautiful. And the Lord works within them. The power of God works within Peter and John. They say to the man, you know, "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Again, that's quite. Think of the attitude you have to do that. Think of the sure-footedness you have to have in your heart and mind. You know, to be able to speak those words with such boldness, such confidence, and then to see God heal the man. And then the people run together and say, hey, you know, what's going on here? And they look on Peter and John like there's something special. And they say, hey, you men of Israel, why look you so on us? Is that by our power or by our holiness we have made this man to walk? It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And they preach the word again to them. And they so turn the hearts that by the end of the time that they're done preaching this, another 4,000 or 5,000 believe. God is demonstrating his power through his people, and he's got individuals who, with boldness, with confidence, with an absolute surety in their heart, know that Almighty God dwells in me. What do I have to fear? Almighty God is with me. He's given me the words to speak. He's given me everything I need. And they're just letting loose. I love it. I mean, there ain't no shame. There isn't any concern about, is this proper to say in this particular venue? There's none of that nonsense. None of it. And they're just speaking the absolute truth of the word. And then in chapter 4, I wanted to bring you here, and I want to cover some of these things in light. In chapter 4, it says in verse 1, and as they spake unto the people and the priest and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees, remember the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. See, this really cut across. Not only was this bad for business, this is very bad because it contradicts everything that they teach. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold unto the next day. For it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Just the guys. 5,000 people believed, just counting the guys. You know, I mean, that's quite something. We're talking about this church has just grown by 15, 20,000 by chapter 4. And what a beautiful, see, when God does something, it gets done, right? When God said, let there be light, there was. When God said, he stretched out the firmament, it got stretched out. It says in Isaiah that he stretched it out like a curtain. What a mind picture when you go to the shower in the morning. This is what it takes for the universe. That's our Father. These individuals who were, they had been with Jesus, they were taught by Jesus, they were trained by Jesus, they did everything, and Jesus poured out his entire love and ministry into their hearts. There's no plan B. These are it. But you know what was the item that sealed the deal? The item that gave them the ability, the strength, the power, the courage was the Spirit of God that he poured into their soul. And ladies and gentlemen, every one of you has got this Spirit. If you believe Jesus Christ is Lord, do you believe God raised him from the dead? Do you believe the gospel? Then you are a child of God, and he has poured out his Spirit within you. All I could say then is act like it. Recognize it. Act like it. We're not a bunch of bums. You know, we are the children of the living creator of heaven and earth. And, you know, we don't know everything. I don't know everything. I was asked a bunch of questions at the picnic yesterday. I don't know. But some of these things, you know, like we were talking about dinosaurs, I don't know. You know, whether the... But I do know that God made everything. And he made it in 6 days. Is it 600 billion years or 6 literal days? You know, some people believe one thing. Some others believe the other. I personally believe it's 6 literal days. Some people think that makes me a moron. No, I just trust God's word. But it's okay if you believe it's 600 billion years. You know why? It don't change nothing in life. God still raised Jesus from the dead. You are his child. He's poured out his spirit. And when the Lord returns, I'll find out all the details that I can't figure out right now that are in the Bible. I just want to be bold. I want to be bold, and I want to walk, and I want to act like, and I want to have the Father work within me. And that there's pure wisdom in that. There's pure understanding in that if he's working in you, if he's directing your steps, then wherever your steps are, they will prosper and be blessed, just like you did with Joshua. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't pray and be meek and ask and humble and make sure that this is God's direction in your life? That's exactly what you got to do. You can't be stupid, arrogant. Oh, I know this one verse of scripture, and therefore everything I do is okay. That is a foolishness of an uninformed child of God. We're still to be meek and humble, and we are to know that we're going to be persecuted. We're going to know that our days aren't all going to be just wonderful and pleasant and nice. That there's going to be plenty of pressures. You know, Peter's in this situation. If you really, truly meditate upon it and put yourself in this situation with getting grabbed in the middle of your teaching in a crowd of people, and you just got grabbed and you just got hauled off and thrown into prison, and then standing up the next morning, you're getting called on the carpet for the very same people that killed the Lord Jesus Christ and sent him to the cross. I am sure that your heart might be pounding a little bit more than usual. See, but if these are just words on the page and they don't live, and you don't ask God to make them live, and you don't realize that they could be scared to death, and yet they're still doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're not supermen. They don't have little white halos around their head making them, what do you call those things? You know, extra special spiritual folks. These are just fishermen. These are guys from Galilee. They're hanging out, you know. And they're fishermen. In verse 5 it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were kindred of the high priest." I mean, we're talking about the top dogs. "Were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they set them in the midst, they asked them, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit." This is filled to overflowing. God is working within him. "He said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he hath been made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, who God has raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone, talking about Christ. He is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. This was a prophecy so long ago, which is so right in their face. This is the stone. He was the one. In verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Oh, what a terrible thing to say these days, isn't it? I mean, people squirm if they are asked, well, is there salvation in any other? How about if I don't believe in Jesus, I live a good life? Is there salvation in any other? Talk to the, just read Peter. You don't have the guts to say it, just tell them what Peter said. No. You don't like it? This is the way God, he is that stone which was set at naught by the builders, by the religious leaders. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. You got the Son, you got the Father. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father either. Jesus said that in the Gospels. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. You know, Peter didn't sound any smarter than an average day fisherman of his day. But they looked at that boldness. What's different about these people? They were with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them. And in other words, the guy that got healed got thrown in jail too. They not only grabbed the preachers, Peter and John, they also took the guy who got healed. And they threw him in jail. How'd you like to be the, you know, I guess it's not a big price to pay, right? If you've been lame since you were born, you're fairly well off with your family. You're asking alms, you're asking for mercy at the to show your humility at the temple gate, beautiful. You get healed, you get the leap and praise, and then all of a sudden, boom, that's over, let's go to jail. I mean, that would change your day, right? It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Talk about, this was a short-lived celebration. They couldn't say anything against it. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside, they put them out of the room, out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I can't deny this has happened here. What a dilemma. Verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, and that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And I'm sure this threat was blood-curdling. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, right to their face, I don't think there was a little bit of a pause. They just answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Any genuine miracle, any great healing, God is the one is going to get the glory. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company. They went back to the believers. And the others that believe. Now, how many of them are around about this time? I mean, it could be up to around 20,000 or more. Who knows? But they're going to go hang out with the believers. And they reported all that the chief priests and the elders said unto them. They didn't try to smooth it over. They were excited about this. They were excited about even getting arrested and beaten and threatened. This is great. This is their attitude. This is their attitude. Why are they so abnormal? I mean, isn't this abnormal? If you take somebody and you beat them and you throw them in jail and you threaten them and you threaten to take away everything they got and their freedom and everything else, aren't they supposed to cower? I mean, that's the point, isn't it? They didn't. They went back. They talked with God's people. They told them exactly what had happened. And verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, all of the believers, with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God. You are the Creator, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They were quoting scripture here from the Psalms, talking about the kingdom that's coming. And they're also talking about the fact that everybody, these scriptures are partially fulfilled in the sense that Jesus Christ was that, and they stood up against him. And of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Do you know God sent Jesus to die on the cross? You know, God was making sure that this was going to get done with Herod and Pontius Pilate, that his will was being carried out. And God knew all of this to begin with. It all worked out for God's salvation and his blessing to us. And it all worked out because this was God's plan of what he wanted in order to win back man from the adversary. So I don't know how everything gets done, but I do know this. God wins. God, my Father, is going to have everything he wants, when he wants, how he wants it. I don't know what the next weeks and the months and the years are ahead in our lives. I don't know. I'm just living day by day, praising the Lord as I go, living each one to the fullest that I can. Again, with meekness and humility and asking the Father to direct. But, and I got no You know, I don't worry about a whole lot of things, because I do know that my God is faithful, that He will always be there. And whatever comes my way, I got God in Christ in me. And you know, in the middle of this prayer, verse 29, they're just reminding God what's going on and the fact that all this is happening. Verse 29, it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Listen to these people, Father. Listen to them. "And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They weren't being cautious. They just spake the thing with boldness. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed were their own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection." With great power. See, the miracles are a witness of the resurrection. The manifestations are a witness of the resurrection. Remember it said that when Jesus was ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And, you know, the fact that you got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These gifts that have been poured out, the Spirit that's been poured out, the promise of the Father. It's all a witness that the resurrection was true. And then you got people doing it. They sold their stuff. They acted like a family. You know what? They just wanted to move the word. I believe these guys thought that that the Lord's coming back at any minute. They lived like Jesus is returning tomorrow, today. Everything doesn't mean anything. And whatever, they sold their stuff, they get rid of it, whatever it was, they traveled light. Not a bad thing to do when you got the Spirit of God moving within you. And they were bold and they shared. Verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he hath need." And there was this one guy, Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barabbas, or Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Now, that's a lot of information about this one guy, this Levite, son of consolation, and he's from Cyprus. Having sold, now this is a chapter that almost nobody teaches, by the way. That's why I would like to go with it here with you guys. It's not an easy chapter. It's a difficult section of scripture. But it, you know, I want you to realize, we just went through a little bit of time here, the joy, the power, the boldness, the Spirit of God moving, everything's happening. And then all of a sudden we got this little different scenario. So you got this fellow, he's a Levite. And there's a lot of things you ought to know about Levites, but he's a Levite. And he sold, verse 37, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. and kept back part of the price, his wife being made privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not thy own, in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He dropped dead in front of Peter. Now this would be a great fellowship, wouldn't it? You know, you're all hanging around, we're all fellowshipping, and then, you know, the guy gets confronted and drops dead in front of you. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men rose, rose and would him, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about a space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, that Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she says, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. You're going to be dropped dead too. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead. This is getting to be a habit here. And they came and they carried her forth and buried her with her husband. And you know what the result of this is? Great fear came upon all the church and upon many that heard these things. And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest did not join, man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. They magnified the apostles, right? Peter and the apostles. You know what? First of all, Levites weren't supposed to own land. It was against the law. They were God's inheritance. God was the one that was supposed to provide for them. Number two, Ananias and Sapphira here, they lied to God. This is, now, you got just in the chapter before, you got everybody praying for miracles and signs and wonders that by the name of the Holy Child Jesus, this word can move. Now you got people who are, you know, if you follow the money, the powerful, these folks want to look good, and they're lying about how good they look in front of everybody with what they gave. And it sounds to me like they're setting themselves up to be something special, because the end result here is that God said, no. The people I want you to follow and look, these men that I have set apart, these are the ones that are special. And we're not going to be, nobody's going to be jockeying for position in the church. You follow that? Does that make sense? See, this is one of the first great sins where the church can be deceived. And we all get deceived at times, right? We get deceived because we look with our eyes, we judge with our eyes, we do this because of what people might think, and this looks really good. You know, it's just like when Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees. He says, don't look at their robes, their greatness, or how long their prayers are, or how wonderful they sound. These guys are dead men's bones inside a, you know, they're an open tomb. Spiritually, they look great. And I have a feeling, in my understanding, this is what I understand of this record. They dropped dead. The judgment came upon them. Whether the Lord, it doesn't much matter how it came down. It doesn't explain it. What happened, though, is that they lied to God. And because of that, they got buried, both of them. And what happened because of that, Almighty God and the people that he had given, the apostles, were magnified. Great fear, great reverence comes upon the entire church. And the word of God moves even bigger. And the miracles get even bigger. Because you look at it, what did I leave off? In verse 14, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them, some of them. And there came also the multitude out of the city round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. What you want to talk about? Revival. Look at the boldness of Peter. You know, I don't think it's pleasant to watch anybody drop dead, but when the time comes, hey, why'd you lie to God? You didn't lie to me. Why'd you lie to God? The consequence, but the consequences were God got more reverence, more respect. You know, this isn't a joke. This isn't a game. This isn't a spectator sport. And all of this is happening, and miracles are happening. Verse 17, and the high priest rose up. Boy, he's had a bad day. And all they that were with him, which were the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them into a common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You know, if God is doing something, I don't care who's in your way. So, you know, I can't go on, and I would love to go on and on forever this morning. I really would. I'd like to just keep going forever. I want you to read it. I want you to read it. I want you to make it live in your soul here right after we're done. Go stand and speak all the words of this life. When you are working with God, you got the Spirit of God within you. You are not, you are not wasting your time. If God is really working and moving within you, you're going to see great, wonderful things. Does that mean it will be always be a nice day and everybody's going to like you? No. Does that mean you'll never get thrown in jail or get beat? No. But they got beat. And when they got beat here, oh, let's just go a little bit more. And when they heard that, in verse 21, when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. And the high priest came, and they that were with him, and they called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought up. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison, and they returned and told the saying, the prison truly found we shut. The door was still locked with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. You know how Jesus popped up inside and outside the room, with his resurrected body? You know, God can do that with you, too. You kind of want, instant transportation. If it's according to God's will, there is no man going to keep you where you are if the Lord wants you someplace else. Now, when the high priest and the captains of the temple and chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them where this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, teaching the people." And when the captain with the officers, and they brought them without violence, for they feared the people. Things have changed. They didn't beat them this time, bringing them back. They said, would you please come with us, please? Lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they sent them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, "Did we not straitly command you? Didn't I tell you to do it? You couldn't talk in this name? That you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And indeed, to bring this man's blood upon us." And Peter, standing up with the apostles, answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Boy, that has got to be our motto. Every one of us is a different human being. We got a little bit different situations. We're in different aspects of our life or whatever. But if you're walking by the Spirit of God, God's working within you, the willing to do of His good pleasure, you are going to be doing His will. You are going to be taking care of His business. And you just have to determine to obey God rather than men in everything you do. You got to have that kind of guts. If you ain't got that kind of guts, you ain't never going to do it. If you cower to every bully that comes your way, that's why you teach your children to stand up for themselves, right? You better, because if that's not their reaction in life, then they will cower to every little thing that comes along. Oh, you don't like me? I hope you all appreciate what I'm saying. There's obviously boundaries to everything in life. You don't become the bully yourself in the room. But if you don't stand up for God, for His word, if you don't choose to walk by this and have that kind of boldness, because this is who you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You can hide. You can hide. Or you can just speak boldly with love. With great love. Because that's how Jesus taught it. But He taught them straightforward. He didn't mince words. Peter certainly isn't mincing any words if you read these teachings. You killed him. That was a very loving thing to say to them. Because they got to repent. They got to recognize their sin and they have to repent. Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to lie to God and work their way into a position of leadership. That God, you're going to try to lie to me and try to hurt my church? No. Drop dead. That's a judgment. See, the judgment can be immediate in the first century church. It can be immediate today. Most judgments don't happen immediately. Everything is going to be judged at the end. Nobody's getting away with anything. But there are things that people commit that instantaneously they have a judgment upon them. And I'm not God. I don't decide who, what, where, when. He does. We ought to obey God rather than men at every turn of our lives. What does God's word say? What is he working in my life? And he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He loves you. You're his child. You know, nobody touches my kids. And, you know, he told us they're going to beat the heck out of you, but I'm with you. And it was powerful. I just want to see that in our lives. I want to see that kind of revival in this day and time. But it's going to take people with guts to do it. So that's what I wanted to share with you. I love you all very much. Very grateful for your lives. And thanks for being here this morning. And if you would be so kind as maybe drop me a little note in your email. I still don't think I have everybody's email. I saw Jeff online here. I was looking for an email for you, Jeff. I don't have it. So if you would be so kind, send it to me. And I love you. So let me have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your love and goodness. With all boldness, Father, we pray. We pray that we are able to just work with you, Father. Allow you to work within us, the will and to do of your good pleasure. We just so desire, Father, to walk with that kind of boldness and love, that kind of deliberate walking with you and moving your word. I pray, Father, for your children. I pray for each and every one of us, Father. Whatever it is that we need to learn, whatever it is that you need to train us in, whatever it is, Father, that is necessary for us to be able to walk in the example of these men and the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I ask you that you provide it to each and every one of us. And I praise you, I love you, and I pray for deliverance, Father. Command deliverance for your people. Command your word to move, Father, and allow us to be a part of this great revival that I believe will come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.